In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, Gary Damon and recurring guest host Rock Cub are joined by Ronnie for a discussion about how we created friendship from the bear community. Find out how they discovered the bear community, have come out, and reconnected with old high school girlfriends. It's share time as we turn back time to memory lane as COL 331 starts now.
Everybody, so as you can tell, it's another on the road show. This is Gary Gaber 73, and with me is one of my lovely co-hosts.
Hey, everybody, it's Damon,
and we are in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes,
or Cincinnati. I've been told sometimes
Cincinnati, Nasty Natty, Cincy, the Queen City.
Porkopolis is a good one. And we are actually at the home of a recurring, lovely friend and co-guest of the... Co-guest? Co-host?
Guest host.
Guest host. Hostess with the most.
It's midnight, bitches.
That's all I gotta say.
He's the guest ho. Oh.
Okay, well, you can be the guest ho. That's fine.
The guest ho, as always.
Mr. Jeff Rockcub is with us.
Not at it.
We in his house, and with us also is Ronnie Coleman.
Oh.
Hello.
And this is your first time, right?
Well, yeah, be gentle.
Too late.
The paddle's already on the table. I mean, this... Yeah.
Nice. So this weekend we went to Kings Island. Mm-hmm. Mr. Rusty from the LGBT Center in Cincinnati for... Oh, God, I can't even think of how many years it's been now. 17? 18?
Fuck. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know they were doing it when I moved here, and I moved here 13 years ago.
So. Yeah, I don't think it's quite 20 years yet. They do Pride Night at Kings Island. Uh-huh. So they actually rent out the entire amusement park, and we pay a flat fee to get in. The kiddie sections are closed, but pretty much the majority of the rides and the midway and all that stuff is open. So we go, and it's a fundraiser for the LGBT Center. And even though it rained, we went, yeah, and we had fun.
Yeah, rain was a little... So, rain always is hard, and it's actually rained, I think, the past 2 or 3 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
No. 1 year it was really hot. Like I think last year it was, like in the 90 degrees.
Was it last year? I can't remember. Depends.
They all blend together. It's like, let's go to Kings Island and ride all the rides, because there's, you know... The lines are short, and yeah, so, and then
rides get stuck.
And the rides get stuck, yeah, a bunch of people got stuck on rides from last night.
People got stuck on the Flight of Fear, and that's the...
Maybe that's just part of it.
Are you serious? I wrote that.
Yeah.
The indoor thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote it. I was in line when they encountered... We were going to go there to visit, to check it out, because I was there walking with friends. And it was shut down. And I was like, okay, well, when are they, you know, reopening it? Oh, it'll open up later. So we went back later. And we're in line. We're, like, up right before you get into the area to start riding the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an announcement, like, you know, due to technical difficulties, the ride is shutting down for a moment temporarily while we work on the service. So we're sitting there waiting, and... It finally opens up, and I then have a friend of mine on Facebook who was apparently on the ride, if not while we were in line, but earlier, and he had pictures of him. I'm stuck. Like, here's parts of the ride. Like, I was like, Jesus. Oh, shit.
Nice.
So, it's fun. Pride Night is always a good time because it's a good fundraiser and also a good time to be around people and hang out and...
It is, and it's nice to be around, like, all the, you know, folks that are part of the community, including allies and walk around. Lots more people holding hands this year, I noticed, than previous years. Not that I think it was ever an issue in the past, but I just think people are
a little bit
more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and marriage equality could be a big piece of it, where they're just kind of like, I'm going to walk around and hold my partner's hand.
Yeah. Probably and that. And, few other
and Hey Day Revival.
We did. We went to the Fest House and got to see the band perform.
Oh, sweet.
And they were really good. Jeff, you know the lead singer.
Samuel Danewood, used to be in Fuzz Face, is now in Hey Day Revival as his main original project. And they do a few covers. The bluegrass style is amazing. And they, I knew they were going to be good, but they were way better than I expected. Not that I'm expecting to have a low standard or anything, but it was nice being that surprised. Like, their vocals and just everything were amazing. And the show was geared very well towards the community without being too over the top from my perspective.
Which is a good thing, yeah.
They did covers that the audience would know. They also did some original work. And it was nice to see them perform, and I think they sold out of all their CDs.
Oh, good.
They had a decent stack of them. Oh, you want to talk about what happened? So they're done performing during the show. Is it Samuel?
Yeah.
He says, he's like, if you want to come up here, he's like, we got CDs for $5 a piece. Which it almost sounds like clowns, bitches, because like all these people just kept walking up right while they're performing, and they're throwing money in the tub and grabbing a CD. So Jeff and I both get up as soon as the show's done because we want to get a CD. So we come walking over. We're almost like hustling because the stack is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we walk out there.
And all I see is this guy reach around and what I thought grabbed a fucking handful, and I'm like, wow, I hope you threw more, because I didn't see what he threw in there, and I'm thinking he threw a $5 in there, and help yourself, just take all of them, bitch.
Sure.
And then Gary looked at me and he's like, what? I was like, did you get one before he, like, you lose a hand or something?
Yeah, and I said, I think he threw a $20 in, and that's why he took, like four CDs. Like,
wow.
he did appropriate, but anyone not paying attention, yeah, it looked like he just kind of went, whoop, and just grabbed a stack, and, you know.
I thought I was going to be left out. I thought that the fear sunk in that I was going to miss out on the CD.
Oh.
Which is really good, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's got some.
It's
got
kind
some
of a homegrown thing. It's in like a little bag. It's
that almost, was also surprising.
Yeah,
that than I thought.
Yeah, it just it's half and half. It's half live and it's half original music from the studio. So, the Tummy song, love that.
Fuzzy Belly.
Furry Belly.
Furry Belly.
I love that.
It was nice.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's. I like that their original songs, two of the tracks out of the 10, are definitively, like, for the gay / bear community.
Sweet. And good. Not just novelty.
So, yeah, this is their CD cover. It's a converted lunch bag.
Sweet.
Cut down.
That's
with
awesome.
A sticker and a stamp on it. Isn't that amazing? I'm like, there's some DIY craft shit going on. They were like, stamp, slap it. And put a CD in it. We're
they
done.
Literally cut a paper bag in half. Like, so cool.
Yep.
That's so
cool. I thought it was pretty original. I was like,
it's not even level. Sorry.
That's okay.
They literally took scissors and did this. They didn't like.
They didn't use a paper cutter.
No.
They might have, but they made.
Paper cutter. They use the little scissors that you get in first grade so you don't stab yourself. It's like, goddamn.
I think they might have used a paper cutter, but unlike David and I, who would have been all anal about having a perfect 90, they were just like, whoosh, whoosh, like just running through
well,
it.
I imagine anything like that.
Part of the charm of it, though, is that it's not.
It's like, if you're like me, you have great intentions when you first start out doing something, and then like 6 hours later, you're still doing that same task. You're like, "It's fucking good enough."
Done.
Rip. We're just ripping bags in half at this point. No, but it looks good and it sounds good, and
that reminds me of for when we put run bags together for the run. After the first 100, you're like.
Jeez.
How many condoms do they get? How much do they get? Like, everyone just, like, everybody knows, but because it's an assembly line, and you just keep doing it and doing it, and it's kind of like, clock's ticket, and you're kind of like, all right, like, we're kind of done and over this, and so by the time you get to the end, you're like, it's really funny, because sometimes we'll be like, we're already out of condoms, but we're not out of bags, and then I start looking around, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, y'all didn't pocket any, I know how this went, they were supposed to get 3, and you were like, 5, or whatever, like, you were just throwing shit in there.
That's the, like, when I was doing a volunteer for Claw this year, and I did some of the bags there, and they didn't have everything. So they're like, oh, just throw everything else in there.
Right, do what you can with what's left.
Like, okay, well, that's fine. So then I run out of something else. I'm like, okay, I guess you're getting 3 things as opposed to the 6 things that you're supposed to have. Here's a defunct bag. I guess you give that to someone who you don't like.
Wow.
So it was
The rule of thumb is the shitty bags that are that with the least amount of things are for the very last people. So, like, if we're expecting a headcount of, say, 250, then you try to have 275 bags. The extra 25 is in case some greedy bitch takes an extra bag. You know what I mean? Or, you know, someone comes in and says, I didn't get a bag. Okay, well, then you get one of the one that's left over. You know, it's kind of like...
this shitty bag. Shitty bag.
It's not called a shitty bag. It's just, you know, it doesn't have everything in it.
What'd you get? I got the shitty bag. It's probably beyond that. What's the website? Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
definition of a shitty bag. Probably a lot different than that, though. Yeah.
Right. I'll have to remember that for a future episode to look up.
Talk about it.
Yeah, that'll be
Urban Dictionary with Gary.
That'll be a ride-in card on Cards Against Humanity.
Shitty bag.
Shitty nice. Bag.
All right.
And then watch someone in the medical community be like, colostomy? I don't understand.
Thank you, Samuel Danewood. How did we go from Heyday Revival to Urban Dictionary?
Because you're talking about the packaging on the CD. It's a good CD.
And let's thread the needle back.
Here. Yeah. So the whole point of this weekend, though, is just to get together with friends and have fun. And so some of us, we went to eat today, and we did some shopping. Mr. Rock Hub and Ronnie went to a concert. Speaking
Janet
of
Jackson. Oh. Miss Nasty.
Speaking of gay things to do this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gay people.
A lot of hairs.
No. Okay, so here's my quick question. How many lesbians were in the audience? Because I don't know many lesbians that don't want to get with her. Like, they are all about her.
The majority of the women that were there were either with a guy,
yeah,
or there was a lot of the black community that was there.
Okay. Yeah?
And so the ones that were lesbian were obviously lesbian, but they weren't. It wasn't like every woman. They were like, there was
three. So what? They're running around with like little pink tires.
My gaydar sucks, but.
Right.
No, it's true. That's the majority of the women I saw.
Just like at Pride, there was a lot of holding hands and you could obviously kind of tell the couples, men and women, that were together. And then there were quite a few mother-daughter, I think, things. We did a little photo shoot with a mom and her daughter.
The cool thing with this concert is I didn't see anybody trashed the way they were dressed. Like, nobody went. Everybody, all the ladies that we were sitting around with the hats and the... And we were walking by them and I'd say, I like what she's wearing. But it was different, but she looked good. Everybody really looked good.
Okay. I'm getting a fashion. I'm getting a lot of fashion tips.
You're getting your colors better.
Oh. I'll have my colors soon.
I don't know what. I don't know what Ronnie's story is, but what was it yesterday? I heard something about a girl wearing a good looking, fashionable nude pump, and I was like. Oh, it's on. Here we go.
I was like, well, finally somebody knew how to wear a nude pump.
Good for you.
That's what we were at Shanghai Mama's last night. We were eating, and there was a young group of kids, like college age, that got up and they left and they went out of the restaurant out into the sidewalk, and that's when that one pulled that line out. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, wasn't the last nude pump we saw. No, it was actually a nude flat.
It was a nude flat. I've been informed.
Yeah, there.
Now I know I know the difference between a flat and a pump.
Good to know.
That the whole idea of a pump for me was completely different.
Mm-hmm. Getting closer and closer to your gay card.
Yes. Aww. Something like that.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm. So the weekend, you know, it's just really, we've been doing it for I don't know how many years now. I mean, this is what, while I was talking with Rob and Terry, I said, I've been coming to Kings Island Pride Night ever since you started performing there.
Which would have been 5 years ago, I think, because I missed the last two.
Okay, because I said I thought this was like my sixth year, but it could be my fifth year in a row coming to.
Because last year I didn't go. The year before was the year I met you guys. You guys drove down afterwards. Somebody texted me and we met at Shanghai Mama's 2 years ago because I was just coming out of the hospital.
Yeah.
I had been down to the hospital with John.
Right.
And I met you guys afterwards. And then I was supposed to play that year, but that was the year he got sick. He started getting sick. Then I played the actual year, the 2 years before that, and it's funny for me how different it was doing that. I was telling him the little details about us walking in, and seeing coworkers and that also had part-time jobs there, and then seeing a guy I used to be in a band with filming the event. I bolted. I got up and ran out of the fest house because that guy was there filming Pride Night. Here I am scared to death to be there. And then we're leaving. The security guy was who I worked with at one point. Walks by me and says, "Oh, how'd it go tonight?" And I was like, "Hey, pretty good, pretty good." And he's like, "Anybody try to buy you a drink?" And I'm like, "No, nobody tried to buy me a drink." And he's like, "Oh, I bet your girlfriend's happy about that." And Gary's like, "Fuck you." He's like, "You performed at a gay event, one of the acts at a gay event for Pride Night, and he still thinks you're straight."
That's called like blinders. Like,
right.
Oh, sure. This random person who I know
right.
happened to be at an event where everything underneath it has said gay.
Right.
And I guess you're not.
But gay. He wasn't. And
but he
was working.
That's true.
So
it's
true. It wasn't that.
But it was funny. The fear for me, though, when I seen him, I just was like, and aww. Then we turn around, and then now, like Gary said, me and how many other people are way more comfortable being at Kings Island on Pride Night. And then even tonight, not at a gay event, even though it's Janet, we're at that event or, you know, at the concert, and I'm not scared to hold hands anymore, and I'm not worried about having my arm around. And then I'm looking around, and I'm like, wow, there's all kinds of people. Some lady with a video camera, huge camera in the microphone.
Yeah.
We're standing by where they get drinks, and they just kind of reached over and kissed each other, and then she looks at us, comes running over and puts
comes
the
over with the
right.
camera out with this beautiful smile, points the camera at us for a few seconds and says thank you and walks on. Don't know what she was videotaping.
So yeah, I was just like, what?
Well,
you might be in a future music video for Miss Jackson.
That's what he said. They're going to show live clips of the audience.
I thought how some
yeah.
people do that.
Yes.
But,
ooh, I can't wait! I can't wait
time,
for that to come up on the internet.
Boop.
So it's nice, you know. It's
yeah.
And then running into people at Kings Island that you haven't seen forever,
exactly.
Seeing how comfortable they are, or what's going on with them now, and as opposed to catching a blurb on Facebook as it passes by, or you know, it's just we get so caught up in Facebook and this site and that site and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and then trying to keep up with everybody because your circle of friends gets so much wider with the way that the years go by and then it's just because of one person and another person pretty soon there's 10 people turns into 20 people turns and it's just that.
Well, look at the group that we got together to buy the tickets for.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many years have we been coming to this event? And every year I thought to myself, you know, there's at least 7 of us. We should be able to get the damn group discount. And every year, people are like, oh, I already bought my ticket at the bar or whatever. And I was like, well, so this year, about a month ahead of time, I started that big group chat. And I was like, who wants to get in on group tickets? Because I'm like, I'm willing to buy them all at once. I just need to know who all's in, so to speak. And
yeah.
It turned out to be 18 of us.
Oh, shit.
In the end, and I would say at least a dozen to 15 of us all mostly know each other. There wasn't anybody that was really kind of an outlier where they were like, who's
yeah.
I at?
Friend of a friend.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole bunch of it. So it was nice to see that. Plus, while we were waiting for some folks to show up, I noticed a lot of folks were saying hello to other people as they were like, oh my God,
yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while and
yeah.
stuff. And that's kind of what got me thinking about for this weekend. I had mentioned before we started with Damon, when I came into the bear community in 99 and 2000, I had no idea where things were going to be all these years later and
sure.
who I would know and who I'm friends with. I mean, like, I look at it this way. This whole Cincinnati region,
mm-hmm.
I don't know them. Like, I don't have any idea as to who they are and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, or didn't at that time.
Yeah.
And so now I'm, you know, friends with all these folks because
yeah.
I ended up joining the Berg Bears and so on and so forth. And from there, that's what Jeff and I were talking about earlier this week,
yeah.
is like, I wouldn't have known him unless he had started making connections and started performing in different places.
True. I'm trying to remember how I met you.
You and I met through William.
That's right. Okay.
Because both of us had been on his podcast.
Yes.
Well,
I've never been on his podcast.
I thought you had been on stage.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
I've been I've been a cat. I've been in the audience, but I've never actually been on his podcast. But
oh, okay.
Neither here nor there, but we met through William. That's true. Met through William.
Now, how did you meet William, though?
How did I meet
William? Okay, maybe we don't want to hear this story.
We don't want to hear this story. I will say this. I met William technically through my partner.
Okay.
But not in the way, not in a traditional way.
That clears everything.
I know.
Wait. Let me guess. Did these two words apply to this situation? Dark room?
No comment. Anyway, no. So that's sort of how we met. I met William technically through my partner, and William, I will have to ask William if I want him to tell the story.
I believe that is not your paddle to touch.
I believe if you're guilty in my house.
Well, now we know how that rule works.
Did you just do your eyebrows?
No, that was a scratch. That was just a scratch.
That was a, let me take a moment and think about what's happening here.
But yeah, so, and then Jeff, probably either through you or through Robin Terry. Maybe.
How did we meet?
Kind of through Robin Terry.
Yeah.
I had known of you through them, and I think through a few other people, but I don't think it was until probably at Robin Terry's.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Robin Terry.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, gosh, like, funny you mentioned things about connections and friends and stuff. I, tonight, ran into a friend who I knew when I first moved here. I met him when I first moved here in 2002. And he moved away, like, 2004 or 5 to, like, Seattle or Chicago or somewhere. And then he's been back. I guess he's been back in town for maybe a year or so. And I saw him there for one. Saw him that he came back and tried to connect with him then, and then randomly ran into him tonight. I don't know if he remembers me, but I remember him.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think back on how it's interesting to connect the dots. Like, Jeff and I had communicated earlier this week about how our lives ended up intersecting and didn't know about each other prior to, what, 7 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, and I think about that in terms of how our lives have changed, like the directions that we've come and who we know and what we've been involved in. Like, there was a whole group of people in Columbus I used to hang out with on a regular basis I kind of don't have touch with a whole lot anymore. And it's not that we don't get along or we don't like each other. It's just life kind of transitioned. I used to stop in Columbus a lot on my way to visit Dad over in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have a tendency more to come to Cincinnati. Like, today, was here in Cincinnati, went up, visited Dad for a couple of hours, and then,
yeah,
you know, came back and that kind of stuff. Kind of like I know some people around Cleveland and Pittsburgh in different regions. But that's the interesting thing to me, is looking back over all these years and thinking about how many people I've been interconnected with. And that's what I find interesting, is that Ronnie and I have, like, if we were to have a diagram of our circles of who we are and the people that we know, I don't know how he and I never met over the years.
Really?
Like, talking about, like, his background and what he knows.
I can think of one the first person that comes to mind is, I would say his last name wrong, Steve.
Witzberger?
Right. Like, you two both have a long history.
But I've known Dominguez.
Right, that's who I think of.
I've known Michael Dominguez since, like, 2001, 2002.
Right.
And I was talking about him when he went, Dominguez? I'm like, you know Michael Dominguez? I've known Michael Dominguez for 40 years or whatever.
Right, that's the thing that Ronnie and I are like, we have all these people that overlap, but somehow we didn't know each other. And then, so when I did talk to Witzberger about Ronnie, he's like, you know Coleman? And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, how is it that we kind of don't, like, what was the name you used earlier today that was Michael's ex? And I was like... Michael. I thought you said it was Michael's
Stefan.
Stefan. That's a name I know that I never met, but a lot of people that I know from all these years over Arctos talk about.
Lahowski.
Yes. And then he asked me if I'd ever met Lance prior to the camping weekend when he was at Camp at Freedom Valley, and I said no. But it seems like I should have, given the amount of people that cross over. I'm like, how does that happen?
Right. It's very true. It's very interesting. like one of the things I know, I don't know a lot of bears and stuff in Louisville anymore because, and that's where I'm from.
Right.
I lived there for 18 years and then moved away. I should know all these people because I used to go back every summer. Don't know very many people there. I know people there now, but not from when I was growing up there, yeah. Whenever before. It was like recently, more recent, that I know some of these people.
That's what flipped me out about last night, the guy with the Elberg, and I was just joking around, Elberg Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that dude's got a shirt on, like, just down the road from me where I grew up, and that's the high school and stuff. And then you're like, that's where he's from. And I'm like, oh. And he's probably younger than me, but not by a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny, from Indiana, you know, small town, all of a sudden someone surfaces. And if they didn't move there to work at the casino, you'd think, how do I not know that person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's just like Michael and Wumpa over at Robin Terry's right now. I met them through William and knowing this whole group over in Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing to me is, well, I'll ask you this question. After getting into the bear community and performing, how many of the 50 states do you think you know people in? Just a rough number.
Hmm.
Because I already know you know people from coast to coast, so I can't ask you that question.
Right. I would say more than definitely more than half.
Yeah.
If not leaning towards three quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you. Yeah. And it's weird because somebody messaged me the other day, and it made me think about our trip coming up. Are we doing a road trip there too?
And on the road show down there, we might be.
Okay, that's I didn't want
to. But I think it out. No. I think if we do an OTR from, well, this isn't a big surprise. We're probably going to do one from New Orleans.
That's what I thought.
And I think if we do it, like Drew and I have already been talking. I don't know if you heard this. Oh no, because we talked about it during the Power Hour. Do you remember?
Probably not.
So I said to Drew, I made a joke, and I said we should do a Power Hour from New Orleans.
Oh, I do remember that.
And he was
you guys would fucking die. They'd be like,
I think it's a lot.
One hurricane, two hurricanes, three hurricanes, floor. And you see, like, the term would keep running, and you keep hearing the ding, and you just, like, there'd be nothing there.
I was going to say, does the podcast actually slow down?
No.
So to catch Ronnie and Jeff up, because they haven't participated in Power Hour.
Power Hours.
So we'll catch up real fast. And for anybody in the listening audience, if you haven't listened to the two Power Hours over the past year for Jeff, the producer's birthdays, you really should.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more fun to watch the YouTube video, but
yeah.
A Power Hour is where you take a drink every minute for 1 hour straight. So you do 60
shots?
Well, it's supposed to be 60 shots in an hour, but everybody knows the reality is if you really drank 61-ounce shots of liquor, you'd be dead.
Yeah, thank
because
you.
Your liquor couldn't because your liver could not hold your liquor. So instead, we modify it, and it's usually like you can make a mixed drink. It could be, you know, like a light beer or whatever, and then you survive till the end.
Technically, still didn't survive, but yeah. That's another story altogether. It was
so anyway. Drew's participated last year and this year online, and so that's why I made the joke. I was like, maybe we should do a Power Hour from
and that's why
New Orleans.
If you're gonna do a Power Hour, it should be from New Orleans.
Oh, well, that's what David just said. He's like, one hurricane, two hurricane, three hurricane, four.
That's it.
Because
it's already decadent down in New Orleans, and you're not gonna be like, oh, let's go get some. Like light beers and Power Hour through this. No. You're probably going to get like a hurricane or a big ass mixed drink. Like get like the big fishbowl of shit and be like.
Well, I saw Ron in our chat once to do. Did you see those like all those Disney drinks or whatever? And that was months ago. He was like, I think we should have a special cocktail while we're on vacation. I'm like, oh boy. We'll see how that plays out. But no, I think the idea of us drinking and podcasting from there could be kind of fun, recapping some of the havoc of the weekend. But so that being said, how did we get to that
point? I was talking about the thought of driving. The other day somebody messaged me and was like, hey, when's the next time you're coming to, I don't know if it was Alabama, I was trying, but I said, I have nothing planned, but I got to look at the map because now we're not flying, we're road tripping. So you guys are road tripping. Ron and I are road tripping. Mm-hmm. And Ron is meeting us down there flying. And so I was thinking, even driving halfway down, it would be kind of cool if we ended up somewhere I've never really been,
mm-hmm.
and then look up friends on Facebook and be like, ahead of time, be like, hey, just so you know, we're coming through, get together for dinner. And it's just, I really like that kind of thing. And kind of, I hear so many people bitching, the bear community is not what it used to be. Well, no, it's not going to be. In any facet, it's going to change. Anything that lasts longer than a day is going to change. It's just going to evolve. It's going to grow. It's going to, and you're, if you don't change with it, then you're going to be left in the dust bitching and crying like a little bitch. And sorry, hashtag truth.
Hashtag have another drink.
Right. But it's so true. Like, it's so people focus, and I, not that I never focus on the negative, you know, but I try to catch myself. But it's like, you know, quit bitching about the community and get on board with something. If you, if this doesn't work well for you, then look elsewhere and change a little bit. Find another niche. Find out where that went, and just grow with it. You know, even things at work and things with the community.
Being part of changing it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, used to, I the thought of meeting somebody, for me, and I get that newer people probably still do this, it was a sex thing. I was all about meeting somebody for sex, and then I got to know your name.
Oh.
And at one point, as early as this year, I was somewhere, and I was standing there, and I was like, wow. Hmm. I've been with more than 90% of the people standing here, and it was more than 10 people.
Oh.
I wasn't ashamed of that, but at the same time, I was just like, I need to realize now with where I am in my life, how to have gay friends. Just recently coming out, I have friends that are gay, but I don't, it's a weird thing for me to say. It's like, I don't consider myself a guitar player. I consider myself a guy that plays guitar. So just like I have people who are gay that are my friends, it was like, I don't know if I know how to have just gay friends.
Yeah.
And it not be this weird, uncomfortable, so who's blowing who tonight? It's, let's, how about, you know, for me, that's where I am. For somebody else?
Funny. No, no, no. It doesn't make sense. I kind of feel that same way. That's one of the things that I always often think about. Like, I know a lot of people. Like, I'm a very social butterfly. I like we were walking around Kings Island, for example, and almost everywhere we went, I was like, oh, hey. And like, someone I randomly knew either through Facebook or I've chatted with or I've fucked or whatever, you know, I talked to them and like, hey, how are you doing? Kind of thing. It was a very quick, like, hello. Kind of, and it just, it made, you know, it makes me, like, my friends were laughing at me. Like, no, it's, I just know a lot of people, but I don't know a lot of people. Right. Like, I'm friends with some people. I'm acquaintances with others. I've kept people somewhat as, like, you know, a little bit of a distance. It's just my coping mechanism with things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I may know these people. I may know of them. Like, I ran into people who I knew, like, either through, like, not Facebook so much now, but, like, Barefoot on One, LiveJournal, if you remember LiveJournal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I knew of them and talked, you know, used to, you know, talk online and, you know, share stories with online. And I happened to see him, and I knew who he was, and I recognized him from that. Didn't approach him because it had been so long that I was like, I don't think he even remembers who I am. I'm like, yeah, so I'm going to just...
Do you think people stop themselves from going up and introducing themselves for fear of feeling goofy or feeling embarrassed or whatever?
Yeah. When
the guy tonight that ran into us at the concert, we've been Facebook friends. He looked familiar. And I'm used to, because of playing in the bands and just all kinds of crazy shit, seeing a lot of people, they look familiar. Might have been in the same building with them, gay or straight or whatever. And then it's like, hey... And you feel like you should know their names, but if you don't, you just...
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's just I don't remember where I know you from. And he was kind of awkward but fun about it. And we were both like, we know each other, but we don't really know each other. And we're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, who knows what that could turn into as far as friendships go.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, you're more familiar with each other now that you've met. And who knows what that will unfold. How
right. But had he not said anything, I don't know that I would have said anything. I just might have thought, oh, he just looks familiar.
Yeah.
And, you know, him not saying something to somebody that could have potentially turned into a wonderful friend, You know, had Gary not asked me to perform in addition to what I had done for them as part of an organization called Bearpalooza, I don't know that our friendship would have grown and blossomed. And then we started, because a lot of it had to do with talking about the contract that...
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So I go to book Jeff for the performance. It was for When You Were With Bearpalooza, I believe.
Possibly, yeah.
It was either that year or the year after.
Yeah, I think it was the year after, because I think the show was all through Freddie.
Right, through Freddie.
Freddie was booking us all at that time.
So I think it was the year after when I booked you as a solo, like, individual person to come to Drench Fur. And I sent him, I think I sent you the contract or something. And so he replied back. And he gave me this reply with putting in the contract his legal name. He put his stage name. And I knew it was his stage name. So I replied back and I said, no, I need your legal name. And I don't know if you remember this. You gave me shit for it. And you were like, well, why do I need to use my legal name? And I got all full of like sass. And I said, because this is a legal contract. Like, I was just really kind of pissy with him, because I was like, what is the big deal about this? Like, and my thought was, you're a fucking professional musician. You've done contracts before. Why is this such a big deal?
And then, because I wasn't, because at that time.
Right. And then you replied back and you said, I'm not really out and I don't want my information used, like, in any way whatsoever. And I said, that's not an issue. This is purely a contract between you and me, and I'm not releasing your identity or your information.
I had never had
to anybody else.
Legal, that kind of a contract.
Huh.
And teeter between, oh my God, I'm not out and I can't have my name out there, and I'm going by my, you know, basically I just pulled my name off of 411, Elijah. I was talking to him and I was like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, so I could use my Bear 411 name. I just picked Rock Cub, and he's like, that's pretty good. And that's how that came to light. And so me thinking, because I would be on the road somewhere. I was in Boston and John calls me. He's like, somebody just tagged you. Put a video on YouTube and tagged you as Rock Cub and tagged the band. So immediately, the next 2 hours, he and I are trying to figure out how to get that video taken down or untagged. So we're looking into who posted it, and I spent so much time doing shit I didn't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry.
No, I mean, it was a good experience. So that's how Jeff and I started this acquaintanceship. Was I basically
you being
was,
your professional sass?
Well, I was
self.
Skewering him. I was like, "What the fuck's the big deal?" And when you said it the way you did, I totally got it. And I was like, "No, that's cool." Like, so I sat on knowing what your real legal name was for a long time, and everybody knows you as Rock Cub. And in back of my mind, I'm like, you know, it's kind of like knowing Clark Kent and Superman. It's like, you know who both of them are.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that big of a secret, but I paid attention that most everybody I knew that knew you as Rock Cub.
Right.
And they didn't really know, like, you know,
like
who you were and John and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, that's fine, you know. And then you've come to me since then, because there have been other people that have wanted to attend the event, but they don't want their information given out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they're either on the DL, they're, you know, married or going through a transition in life. They're trying to figure things out. And I've always been very fair about it. It's like, we don't do anything with your information. We will not release it. And if you don't want to be contacted at all, that's fine. Let us know. It's very rare that we would contact you, and you know, about anything, unless we absolutely feel that we have to.
The thing that ever weirded me out about that is the like, you go to these, like with me, of course, I had John. If you always have to emergency contact, because if something happens to you, the people at the event need to know who to contact.
Oh yeah.
If you're on the DL and you don't have somebody at home.
Right.
It's like, what the hell, you know? It's like,
well, and that's what I've said to some people. I've gotten pushback over the years about, even though it's optional for emergency contact purposes, the information, they're like, well, why should I have to fill it out? And I was like, you don't have to fill it out, but I'll make it real simple and clear. You're at the water park, you fall, you split your head open, and we got to put you in a damn ambulance and send you to the hospital. Would you like me to let somebody know that you're going to the hospital? If not, that's fine. And they just kind of look at me funny if it's face-to-face, and they're like, oh, okay, now I get it. I was like, I ain't going to do nothing with your information. I got better stuff to do with my time than, like, you know, like, stir up drama and shit stuff. I'm like, no. Like it's purely only if I need it. And
funny.
It goes to this point. Like, there are many times I'll be like, oh, I need to get a hold of so-and-so. And I'll be like, oh, but I don't have their info. And then, like, days will go by, and I'll be like, oh, but I do have their info, but because I compartmentalize it so well, I don't think I have that person's contact info because they gave it to us in the registration database.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't occur to me that, oh, that's how I can get in touch
but
with
them. But the fear.
Because to me, that's a crossover.
Yeah. And fear. I know, like, I know with Claw, because I, once again, back to volunteering there,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that they put, like, you need to name an emergency contact, blah, blah, blah. And then one of their little, like, things is, can we tell them the nature of this event? And you can say yes or no.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Really, and that's really one little thing. Like, you can just say, oh, they're out at this, depending on whether they say yes or no, you can say,
right.
if they say yes, like, oh, they're here at Claw, you know, and they...
See, I would... Doing this it makes sense for Claw. For us, for ours,
yeah.
I would just simply say, like, in your case, I would be like, you know, getting... Like, if I didn't know you and Jim,
yeah.
and you just listed Jim, I would be like, hi, this is Gary from an event that's taking place in Pennsylvania this weekend. I don't know if you're aware that Damon happens to be here, but you were listed as a medical contact, you know, and then I just pause and wait in the conversation to see what Jim would say. And if Jim's like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 like he's fully aware, then I feel comfortable with continuing the conversation without worrying about revealing stuff. But if the person's like, if it's a parent or a sibling, like, I mean, and that's one of the things we ask is like, what is the relationship to the attendee? So I can know, you know, if they say husband, partner, you know, boyfriend, significant other. Like, to me, I don't think it's that big of a deal to reveal it. But if they're, like, mom or sister, you know, or son or daughter, then I wouldn't be like, hey, you know, your old man's at this, like, dick-sucking event. What is that? I would never say it to begin with, but I certainly, you know, wouldn't right. reveal any of those.
Because Lord knows that's what you would say to the partner.
Yeah.
Right. You would word it.
Jim. I'd be like, so, you know, Damon was at this, like, you know.
He was in the back room. Just a few minutes ago. And
took a hit of poppers, fell and knocked his head open.
His paddle fell out of his back pocket on the floor. He smacked the back of his head off of it when he passed out from there.
Oh, oh man. What the fuck happened?
Okay. True story.
Love this.
Okay. Oh, it's going to be good.
My best friend at the time, John O, who I got all the videotapes from, he had some of his sling done in his basement, and the guy was handcuffed in the sling, and John O started to have an aneurysm, shaking, foaming, blabbering, couldn't maintain, goes down, ends up at the hospital. They're only keeping him alive so that the family can get there.
Wow.
When this was unfolding at first, guess who can't get out of the sling and help?
Right.
And here's the scenario that he had when he showed up at the memorial. This poor kid had bandages on his arms from pulling his hands out of them.
Oh my
so
god!
So he could call somebody about
oh
what?
My god.
And it was this. But anyhow, because of the scene that everybody now John O's family, right?
Yeah.
Who's severely, I call severely Catholic. They all know that nobody talks about it. And here's the scenario that it wasn't a situation to...
That parallels to someone that you know that had passed away. Randy and I, you know Randy, had a conversation about... and his name completely went out of my head.
Yeah.
That passed away from Chicago. Wayne Hoffman, the author that we just interviewed earlier this summer, who did An Older Man, he knew... it's going to drive me crazy. I can't think of what his name is.
I know who you're talking about.
Which Randy?
Randy's friend from Chicago,
yeah.
The lawyer... Who passed away last year.
Yeah.
What was his name? Oh.
Will.
Will. Randy told me, and Wayne confirmed, we had this conversation about Will's family. And Randy told me this funny story relating to that about how the family was a certain way, and I guess Will's mother saw the way that things were being done, and Will was an artist, and he had done all these, like, you know, like, portraits and different things. And I guess Will's mother had asked if they could not show... one or two of the pieces or whatever, because they were very adult in subject matter. And I guess, I'm not going to name any names. A bunch of people very close to Will were kind of like, no. And they like prominently put the pictures at the memorial.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they were like, this is who he was. You cannot whitewash during this moment of grief for
especially
all of these people.
Especially when the people that attended know who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there was family there, but the thing I found parallel about there was the family's there, but guess what? This is a part of the life of the person. You can't just kind of ignore that or whatever.
Sticking in a rug, as it were.
Well, but that brings up an interesting point, though, about now that we all have, over all these years, developed these larger circles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about that now with my family, and I'm like, my dad's family and my mother's family would not know what to think
if
something happened and, you know, all y'all showed up. And they'd be like, okay, there's a lot of, like, husky, hairy men, like, here.
I guess they're all friends.
Who we're gonna yell at and drenched for now?
But like for example, one of the things recently, Jim and I recently, you know, we moved in together. Prior to that, Jim's not out. He wasn't out to his family until recently.
That's what I thought. I didn't know the full.
Yeah.
Extent.
So Jim, the only people who knew out his family, quote unquote, were his brother and sister-in-law, and I met them a few years ago. He hadn't come out to his dad, who he shares a duplex with. Hadn't come out to his mom yet. So he decided to, you know, especially since he's moving out of the duplex and everything, he decided to come out to his parents, and I met both of them. Well, I've met his dad. I haven't officially met his dad as
your boyfriend,
yeah. But I met his mom, and mom's hoot. But it's just very interesting. Like, from my end of it, I still have yet to come out to my family yet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've been having, like, weird-ass conversations with my mom, especially about the house. Like, oh, I got a house. And she's like, oh, great. And I told her it was 4 bedrooms and 2 baths. She's like, oh, that's big. I'm like, yeah. I'm kind of making this. It was a good deal. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, it's truth, but not truth. Like, yeah, it was a great deal. You know, da da da. Not, oh, I'm living with someone. And
so she doesn't think that you have a roommate?
She doesn't know I have a roommate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you were kind of explaining all the bedrooms that way.
No. I didn't do it.
This one will have the sling in it.
Yes. Mom, this is where we'll be
do
doing.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How old are you?
I am 35. Turning 36 in a month and 13 days.
You know, the interesting part of this whole thing is finding out tonight more about him, and especially with what I've done over the years performing at the different events. And Freddie even made that statement to me when I asked to be part of Bearpalooza. I came from such a different background as some of those artists.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't out. They were very out, and that was the whole thing about Bearpalooza, being proud and being out and celebrating yourself as an artist. And here I come along, and I'm like, I really like to play out with you guys, but you can't tell nobody. You gotta call me some other name, and you gotta hide me back here, you know. And so, being at an event, though, I would be in an event, and I would be playing and singing, and kind of telling my story. One or two guys always come up and be like, I am so glad you told that, because I am here, and my wife thinks I'm fishing, and I'm trying to figure things out. And what I found is over the years, by listening to more and more people and finding out how different our story is and how completely different our history is and the roads we've traveled, the more I get to know other people, the better I get to know myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing, his background, Ron's background, from my background, would you say completely polar opposite?
I've pretty much been out since puberty. my family's just, it's just not a...
And I'm finding I'm 40 years old and coming out, and it's later than that, really. I mean, I started dealing with it when I was 30. I met John. At 40, I was kind of accepting it, and now I'm 50, and it's been 2 years, and I just had a conversation with my sister a couple days ago. And we spent hours, and for us, texting was the way that we do that, because we're just not as close, where I've watched Ron and his sister, and you couldn't peel them apart with a spatula, you know. It's like they're so connected and so tight, and where I don't have that, so, you know, and I'm just now addressing it. She's telling me that she went to church, and the preacher said this, and that he wished he'd have known about his best friend from younger days, that
he didn't know he was gay, and he killed himself, and maybe he could have done something. And it sparked her to she sent me this. We were having like two conversations like we do on within the same chat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she all of a sudden she comes up with, are we going to get a chance to meet him, Ron? And I'd like to bring the kids. And I was like, what?
Okay.
Are you talking about the party that we were talking about on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Or, because that's an adult only thing. And so I was trying to figure out, is she really talking about Ron?
Because
we haven't talked since I came out at all about me being out.
Right.
And so the more you get to know other people and see that
mm-hmm.
I thought you were out, and I didn't know, but not
I'm out here.
Well, I was going to say, to clarify, part of Damon's situation is that your whole family is in another state.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he up and removed himself from that
okay.
family and environment. So that's why here, it seems like to everybody, Damon is out, and everybody knows. Well, that's because he's not at home, so to speak.
Okay.
And the reason I bring it up to Damon is because I think it's very common.
Yeah.
People play at the, especially if they live in a smaller community,
yeah.
and they're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So they move to like a bigger metropolis or whatever, and they're like, there's gay people. Yeah. And so, you know, they go through the coming out process and they figure their whole identity out. And so, yeah, there's like this duality kind of thing because they go back home. I see it in my hometown. It's not a very large city. And so people come back, you know, the holidays or whatever, and you'll see them, and the bar will get real busy with lots of fresh meat and faces you haven't seen since about this time last year or in 5 years or whatever. You know, and then you find out it's like, you know, they're back because of X reason, but, you know, they're living in Colorado, San Francisco, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like mm-hmm, girl, yeah. like.
I know that one.
So. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic to see it from different sides.
Like I said, when I moved here, I decided like I wasn't going to sugarcoat or hide anything because I was away from family, didn't have to worry about it so much. I did still kind of keep things slightly on a back burner, but never like actually a few years ago on Facebook, I stopped caring about pictures that I was tagged in and like that. So if I have family members that are friends of mine on Facebook. If you took a second and looked through my Facebook, I don't think it would be
too hard
to figure out. Put two and two together, get dick.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I just said to my dad when we were visiting that his sister, my aunt, the baby of the family, sent me a link on Facebook today about pognophiles, which are people who love facial hair.
Okay.
Like, which is something about the bear community.
Pognophiles.
Yeah, I think it's Pognophiles. And it's, so it, the terminology is about a person who likes facial hair, like meaning that you like it on other people. My aunt, who knows that I'm gay, it's either that or it's her daughter, but I'm pretty sure it's her. She sent this link to me or posted it on my wall or whatever on Facebook and it's like, looks like an article you'd be interested in or something. And I was like, well, that was pretty random out of the blue. Kind of, because like we haven't really talked about it necessarily, but I started thinking about it, and like Damon said, you get tagged, and I thought, well, there's probably been enough activity now on Facebook over the past like 2 or 3 years that it becomes obvious. Like if you pay attention and you look at all the pictures of my friends, or you look at the feed of like the people that I know, right. I guarantee if you went through, you know, the hundreds of people I know on Facebook, and you were kind of like, there seems to be some commonality here. Lots of them have rainbow splashes across their profile pictures. Lots of them have facial hair. Lots of them look like they could lose a couple pounds. I mean, like, you know, it's just like this running thread, you know, and it's kind of like a lot of them have bacon love t-shirts or, you know, I mean, there's just this thing that just kind of pops up from there.
Yeah. It's,
do you find the term?
Yeah. I don't know how to say it, but pogonophile.
Oh, I had a
P-O-G-O-N-O. P-H-I-L-E. Look it up.
Maybe Pogonophile.
Pogonophile.
Yeah.
Yes, dear.
I end up saving the link, which will probably become a future Host Memories update. yeah.
It is ironic, though. Even those people that you know that are making an attempt to connect with you, whether it's an outright bold attempt or whether it's just a, hey, this is kind of me, you know, recognizing you and blah blah blah, here's something you might be interested in. That might be a big deal for them. You don't know. because everybody's so different. But, you know, I think people taking that step to that don't interact with you every day on Facebook, if they're like, here, you know, I think I think Ron's had a few people resurface recently and on Facebook and start and it's just all, he was like, oh, I haven't heard from this person in X amount of years. And it's interesting how circles clash and, or not clash, but crash together and get bigger and smaller and move and two, and it's just, it's an amazing thing.
That's like our late lunch today. We were talking about how we all had girlfriends, like in high school and stuff, and how I had three girlfriends when I was in high school, and I'm friends with all of them on Facebook. And it's so interesting to see where their lives went and look at it from the perspective of where my life is now. Like, the last girlfriend that I had in high school, my senior year, she's been married and has kids that are, like, I guess in band or in sports or whatever, you know, and she's very active in that role back in like, the area where I lived with the high school that I went to, and I was kind of like, wow. Like,
How long ago was your last girlfriend?
Yesterday. King's Island.
Yeah, me and Katie from Heyday Revival. Oh, wow. It's been 23 years.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, because we broke up the summer that I went to college. Well, she broke up with me in August. Anyways, you heard the story.
Yes,
Ronnie heard the story. Anyways, it was a bit of drama that she, on our 9-month anniversary, which I didn't realize how significant that day was going to be for her, another friend of mine and I, who I'd been friends with before I'd started dating Nicole, Rebecca and I went to the mall. And I was working with Rebecca to plan the 1-year anniversary. I was going to be gone to college.
That's the end?
Hey guys, it's Gary. So the conversation in Cincinnati ran pretty late into the night, and we decided to split the show into two pieces. So you're going to have to wait till the next episode to find out more in regards to our coming out stories and, how we came up with the title for these on-the-road shows. Stay tuned till then.